Jaspreet Boparai and Don Nicholson with Greenwashed on RCR, Reality Check Radio.
You're back with RCR Greenwashed with Don and Jaspreet. And today we're going to take a trip to the other side of the world. In fact, 18,000 kilometres away to Denmark, where we check in with Peter Kier, who is the chairman of the National Association for Sustainable Agriculture in Denmark. It's an organisation with around 3,000 members, but it's the only one that I can see in my research that's come out and said we're pretty much opposed to the carbon tax they're going to put on animal emissions in Denmark in 2030. So welcome to RCR Greenwash, Peter. We know that you're quite nervous about this because of our language differences, but I think we'll do this just fine. Now, you've put out a press release entitled Unnecessary Agreement, It's a Sad Day for Agriculture.
Yeah.
What do you mean about that? Well, and welcome to RCR, by the way. Really happy to have you on. But what do you mean about this unnecessary agreement? Why is it unnecessary?
It's really unnecessary because we don't make black CO2 in agriculture. We provide people with food. This is a very important thing to do. And we do it as green as we can do already. And you cannot stop animals from fogging or breathing like we are breathing. And we also have to think about Denmark as a good place to produce food. Actually, we are, like New Zealand, one of the best places on earth. We have a very good soil and the perfect amount of rain and water, and everything is just growing perfectly on this spot. But the thing is that Denmark is also a country where we have politicians with different ideas about how to grow agriculture.
Yeah, we have politicians too, and a lot of them have never put had their gum boots on, or we call them in New Zealand gum boots. You may call them something else, but work boots, they've never had them on. So don't worry, we have the same issues over here. And of course, yeah, you export a large amount of your food to the world, as do we. Mm. We export about 90% of our food to the world. We have a population of 5 million. You have a population of about 6 million. Yeah. You have a land area that's only about a sixth the size of New Zealand. Mm-hmm. But then again, we have a lot of undulating hilly land, and we have at least a third of our country is still in forest. So slightly demographic, the topography different, but actually the output from farms, I would suggest, is very similar. And we have very similar problems. And we'd just like you to explain a little bit more about why you see problems from your parliament.
Mm.
You say you're doing everything you can currently.
We have one different things between New Zealand and Denmark. Denmark is a very small country. We have like 3.5 million hectares. You use hectares also, I think, in New Zealand, the word. Yes, good. And 60% of the land, in the total land, 60% is actually agriculture. And that's a big difference. We also are surrounded by sea, and we have a lot of lakes. So the environment is very, what you call it, we have to be careful, of course. And we are careful. And we have a regulation for that. So and we make sure that everything is correct, so we don't get too much pollution of the water around the sea and the lakes and stuff like that. And then again, we produce like you do. We export 80% of all the agriculture. So we have you can say three times as much food as we can provide ourselves.
Sure.
And that makes people a lot spoiled, because then they think we don't have to make so much. Because we can live with less, and forget about that we also, that you have a responsibility when you're able to make this on the best soil land ever. And this is what I'm trying to get through in the politicians. Also, we have that we are one of 27 countries, because EU is around 27 countries with different areas, like you have mountains. They also have that just south of us in Germany and in France. So maybe they only have like, I don't know, around 10-12% agriculture land. in those countries. So they have to get the food from Denmark, and they are happy about that. And I actually export all my pigs to Germany and to Romania and Poland, like my colleagues also do here in Denmark. So we have to have this very important agriculture. We see in the future that EU will have the lowest food stock, you know, pile of food, grain and stuff like that. In 12 years, we have to go back to 2012 where we had such a low amount of food. And FN and NATO, they say that we have to produce much more now and be careful. And then it bleeds inside me when I then hear that the politician, they now have a proposal that we should take 400,000 of the hectares out of production now. That's 15% of the agriculture food we have to take out, because we have to plant forests and we have to put on the carbon soils, we have to rise some water around it. It doesn't make sense. I don't know why, but it has to prevent that we have this carbon going through there, the CO2. Yes.
Peter, this we've been watching the news this week. That's been coming from Denmark, that you are now going to impose, it's a proposal at this stage, $100 tax per cow for your CO2 emissions, or generally greenhouse gas emissions. How much were the average Danish farmers consulted for this proposal? Was someone like you, other small family-owned farms, were you all a part of this? Or has it just been given to you that you're going to do this?
We were not a part of the, if you mean the
agreement, the negotiations.
Agreement? No. We were not a part of it. Even though that we represent 50% of the soil in Denmark, we were not represented. It was only the other organization called Food and Agriculture. And we were not happy that we were not in the room, because we could serve them with some good, solid
data.
Data, yeah, exactly, and they wouldn't let us in. So we are now trying to tell the population what's going on here. It's a catastrophe, because we are going to make taxes on cows and pigs, and we are taking so much land out that the whole food production in Denmark will decrease with 20%, and maybe also a lot of farmers, they will go bankrupt now. So this is what we've been looking into. And we are using all the hours in the day to work on how to make something. Yeah.
So your near neighbors, the Netherlands, had similar issues going on, where they were being told they had to retire country production, you know, good farming land, reforest it, destock. They seem to have gone a bit quiet, Peter. What's happened? Have they got some concessions from their government? Do you know that has the Dutch government given them some concessions?
Yeah, this is why they don't speak so high. They don't talk very much about it, because they had millions and millions of dollars they put into the farmers, and some of the farmers, they also get tired. They cannot anymore. They have been working too hard the last 10 years with this regulation, and now they're too tired now to continue.
And second question is, this 400,000 hectares has to be purchased, you would think. So is this carbon tax going to be used to buy the 400,000 hectares off the farmers? So you've basically...
That's not how it's going to work. They just take from the... They just take the taxpayers. I mean, everybody in Denmark take those money, and it's like 40 billions crowns. It's a lot. It's a lot of money.
Yeah.
People are actually talking about that the prices on soil will really be higher now because of that. And they will take 250,000 hectares to forest land and 140,000 hectares to carbon land to stop production.
It's interesting, just for our listeners' benefit, I did the conversion. 40 billion crowns is 10 billion New Zealand, not as our press statement said, 6. If we had this concept in New Zealand where farmers had to retire land and the taxpayer here was going to have to pay out $10 billion, all hell would break loose, because there's no one in a city in New Zealand that would want to pay me to retire my farm. And as you've just said, Peter, what happens when you have less land? You put the price of land up for the land that's left. and you put it more and more out of the reach of young farmers. And talking to you off air, you and I are big supporters, and Jaspreet, of owner operators. And this is no friend. These concepts of retiring land are no friend of the new or the young person that wants to come farming. So we've got similar problems. We've kicked our emissions trading scheme for touch on animal emissions, but we know that there will still be a compliance regime that will fund a whole lot of bureaucrats to manage our emissions, regardless of whether we pay for them or not. We're still spending a lot of money on science to try and avoid the worst effect of, in our case, methane emissions. I can tell you from the other side of the planet that there is no need for you to do anything because your emissions aren't causing any significant warming. There is virtually zero warming from your methane, or for that matter, your nitrous oxide. So I hope your team in the National Association for Sustainable Agriculture can embrace the science that is around, and try and educate your parliament and your fellow farmers, actually, that they're being duped, is the word we would use. I hope you know what that means. They're being had on, fooled by this tax. So, yeah, I mean, it's early days. What is your next plan? What will you be doing in the next weeks ahead to try and influence not only your own government, but the European Parliament, maybe?
My problem right now is that most of the farmers here in Denmark are actually tired too. They're very tired because it's been going on not only for 1 year or that, like that, but since 2019, Denmark, they made this climate law. And that is for not only agriculture, this is for the whole Denmark, that we have to decrease the CO2, the carbon, from 1990 to 2030, with 70%. So 70% less, and in 2050 to zero emission, like no emission, no problems at all with the CO2. So they made the deal with the industry, and now it's its turn to the farmers. And we are trying, and I'm still, now you ask what I'm going to do, I'm still trying to tell the government and the people, the population in Denmark, there's a big difference between the green carbon from the animals, because it's recycling. And of course, everybody breathes and fog. And it's going out of the atmosphere in just a matter of a few years, 10, 12 years for the cows and less for the pigs. But what we have to do with the oil industry, oil and gas and stuff like that, it's taken from the ground, been there for millions of years, from plants and dead animals, and then it made to oil. And when we put that in 100 years, we put that in the air, in the atmosphere, it will stay there forever, at least thousands of years. And this is what we're trying to educate the parliament and the people of Denmark, so they can understand what is the difference between production of food over the land, I mean, above, when we have the sun and the breath and the air is going through a system, going through the cow. A cow is not a polluter. It can pollute. It cannot pollute more than it takes. And this is a very simple thing all children should learn in school. And now we have to try to do it.
Well, that's true. On one hand, it's none of what you've said is wrong. But interestingly, the world needs more CO2, not less. To have a greening planet, we need more CO2. And in fact, there's plenty of documents around that show that the world is greening because of the rise in CO2. But it's interesting. I'll go back again. It doesn't matter how you cut the cake. Methane is methane, whether it comes from a pipeline or a cow, and it can never have any consequential or damaging effect on global temperatures. And that's the myth that we've been told. We've been told the opposite of that for years and years and years, to the point that we were believing it. I think we've got a big job to do, Peter. It's interesting, just going back to what's next. I read a statement from a guy, Peter Turber, the CEO of Arla Foods. Europe's largest dairy group, said the agreement was positive, but that farmers who genuinely do everything they can to reduce emissions should not be subjected to a tax. Then he went on to say, it is essential that the tax base for a carbon tax is solely based on emissions for which there are means to eliminate them. Now, in New Zealand, we're told that Arla Foods, for instance, or Nestle, or the big players like Danone, they all want New Zealand to tick this emissions box. But there we have it. From a press statement in the Northern Hemisphere, these guys are saying exactly what we know. There is not much you can do to reduce your emissions, your natural emissions from animals. You may be able to breed genetically improved animals that reduce their methane emissions, but there is no technology short of destroying the animal that is going to reduce those animal emissions anytime soon. So you've got a big job to do. I'm hoping that we can help you, Peter, because as much as we may be trade competitors in some areas of the world, we have one thing in common. We want our owner operators to have successful businesses, and we want them to have less government coming at them, and less effectively. This is the tax on the environment, the tax on the productive people who use the environment, and it's the first stage of that use of the environment. But everybody else is nibbling at your effort. And look, redistribution is a big thing in Denmark. I'm aware of its egalitarian sort of society, but as it is in New Zealand. But there's a point where the redistribution machine, the spreading of your effort to others, gets too much. And as you said, you're tired. Your farmers are tired. You just want respect from your governors. And I'm thinking you've not got it at the moment. A bit like us, we've got to regain our freedom to farm. That's what we've got to regain. And if we can help you, Peter, and your organization, I'd be really, really happy, because we've been friendless in the world to date on this issue. Friendless.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So, look, we said we'd take quarter of an hour of your time. We're probably a bit over that, but what else would you like to say? Is there any message for us?
First of all, thank you. Thank you very, very much that you are interested in what's going on in Denmark. We should have been there for you when you had the problems. Now you're there for us, so I'm happy about that. And we're going to talk a lot about how we can get science. It's very important we use that word a lot now, because there's a lot of proof that this is not true, that the animals on the planet should kill our future. And actually, we have to produce 60% more food in 2050 than we do now, because the population is raising and people, they want the middle class is getting bigger, and people want meat. They want the good food, the good stuff. Yeah. So we have to help each other here.
And it is so obvious that our politicians are all working the same way, Peter. You know, you look at your prime minister's background, you look at what ours, Jacinda Ardern, and even now the ones that they have, the same organization, they come from the World Economic Forums. You're currently the lady who heads that environmental group. What is it, the Nature Conservation Society? This the same woman, Maria Rømert, who's the head of the...
Yeah, Maria Rømert from Danish, what you call, Nature Organization.
From Nature Conservation. Mm-hmm. So she was an MP for a short time. She was a member of her parliament. She left and she joined this. We have had our climate change minister, who left and has joined, again, the WWF, the World Wildlife Fund. Gee. They all work in the same ways.
Same thing.
The same modus operandi. It's not very different. But you were the first country in the EU who, in 2018, signed an agreement with the World Economic Forum. That's proudly on their website, that we are the first one to sign up for a partnership for a green transition. And we just see the same things, the same pattern. Same pattern, exactly. It's funny that.
It's scaring. It's very scaring. And I really like your the name of your show, Reality Check, because that's what the politicians, they need. They need a reality check now, sooner
Rather than later.
Yeah.
Well, look, it's been a breath of fresh air talking to someone in the Northern Hemisphere. To be honest, Peter, you're the first person, you're the first organization we have been able to try and really get involved with. We seem to almost get there with some other guests we have, but not quite. So thank you for opening up to us. And like I said, we may be trade competitors on some instances, but I think on the other side of it, we've got a lot of common ground we need to nurture.
Yes.
So thank you for coming on RCR, and we're going to be watching and trying to assist you, but seeing your output, we're going to be keeping in touch. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much. Bye.
Are you on the RCR mailing list? Never miss a beat of the news and hard-hitting stories you've come to know and love. Stay in the loop. Visit realitycheck.radio/email.